Howie Day at 8:31 here at your hometown station, Coho 101. It's the Coho Morning Show. We're down the backside of hour three now on this Friday edition, first day of a new month, 1st of May, 2020. I'm Chris Hansen. It's nice to have you along for the broadcast. And as promised, we get a chance to chat once again with 8th District U.S. Congresswoman Kim Schreier on today's program. She is live on the line with us, joining us today from her home in Sammamish, Washington, where she's going to talk to us about a number of different things, including the state of the states, looking to come out of the COVID-19 pandemic situation at some point in the near future. Of course, we're still waiting for Governor Inslee's announcement of how much longer the stay-at-home orders will be in place for. That'll come up later today in a press conference that we're still awaiting word on as far as time is concerned. When we do get that word, we'll have it for you live here at Coho 101 later in the day. Also talk about some federal money that has been infused into that small business package once again and what's happening with that, as well as some information regarding our ag workers in the area too and the concerns about them. And Kim, it's always a pleasure. I appreciate the time. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. Good morning, Chris. It's nice to talk with you. I hope that you are healthy and your friends and family are also.
Well, thank you so much. Same to you, Congresswoman Schreier. I know that it's a difficult time still for everybody, but you know, it seems like around the edges, things are starting to wane just a little bit. And that in itself, I guess, is cause for some concern, because I know that we don't want to rush back into reopening once again. And again, that's why we're waiting on how long those stay-at-home orders are going to be in place from Governor Inslee. But just let's break down, I guess, from your perspective on a congressional level and as a Washingtonian yourself, where the state of the state is right now as we start to move through sort of a different phase of this pandemic?
Well, thank you. You know, I am, I'm really so glad that people have taken the stay-home order seriously. I think that we who can stay home should be just incredibly grateful that we have that that opportunity to stay healthy and stay home. And I'm always grateful to people who are going out there and working on the front lines and putting themselves at risk, whether that's healthcare workers, grocery store workers, you name it. So I guess the question is, you know, where do we go from now, from here? And I think we'll hear more this afternoon when we hear from Governor Inslee about what I expect will be a plan similar to something we've heard in Idaho and in California, just about how you tiptoe back carefully. And I think part of this is, what does the data show? And the other part is, how do people feel comfortable? How do we reemerge and feel confident and comfortable that we can stay healthy and that our healthcare system can accommodate potentially a new wave of sick people? And I'll tell you, the last thing we want to do is reopen too quickly and then have to go into another stay-at-home order, which I think would just be, well, demoralizing for the state. It would lead to economic uncertainty. And we just want to do this. We want to do it right and use science and data. So at this point, we're at kind of a plateau in new cases, around 200 a day on average. We haven't seen a steady decline, which is a little frustrating. But we are currently at numbers that that our hospital system can handle. And of course, things are different throughout the state.
Congresswoman Schreier, we'll continue on this note. I wanted to mention real quickly, though, that we do have word now on when Governor Inslee's press conference will occur, and it's going to be at 2:30 this afternoon. So again, we'll break in live with that press conference coverage for you at 2:30 later today here on Coho 101, so you can all find out in the shortest time amount possible that how long the stay-at-home orders will be extended. So Kim, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, Washington State, I guess, specifically as it relates to the latest maneuverings at the federal level. The Small Business Administration still flooded, to say the least, a deluge of folks trying to get through to receive some relief for their businesses and their employees, respectively, at those businesses. And there was a new amount of money infused recently by the federal government. But again, there's been some frustrations as far as just the ways to systematically implement that and just some of the other things like computer problems still going on at the SBA. Nonetheless, it's nice to know that a new package of money has arrived for folks. In your opinion, is that doing all that it could or that it needs to, especially here in Washington State and, again, in particular in the 8th District?
Well, first of all, you know, it's interesting. Since I last spoke with you, I have gone back to Washington, D.C. to vote for that package and then back home. And I'll tell you, flying is an interesting experience these days. Masks separated by several aisles. There were very few people on the flight. And I think things may look like that for a while as we all just try to stay safe. So the new package infuses, and the first one had $349 billion in the PPP Small Business Loan Program. This is a special program that is kind of like trying to do unemployment through an employer. It's to keep employees sort of tethered to their employer so that when our economy starts to open up again, people will already be able to hop back into work. And so it's a program that's pretty incredible because it says, hey, we're going to make you this really low interest loan. And if you keep your employees on payroll for the next 8 weeks, this will become a forgivable loan. In other words, a grant. You get to keep this money for free in order to keep your business open. And it's just such an important way to help Main Street. It's meant for the mom and pop shops. And in fact, right in Wenatchee, Icicle Brewing got one of these PPP loans, and it's going to be critical to helping small businesses survive this. So it is helping here in Washington State. We are seeing it filter through. Banks are processing a record number of these loans, and the Small Business Administration, I mean, it's really a fairly small part of the federal government. It is absolutely getting a deluge. And so if you are a small business, hang in there. You will hopefully hear soon. And I know the banks are just have very long waiting lists right now with thousands. I also wanted to say that we wanted to put in some real safeguards in this new package and make sure that we made it very clear that only businesses who really needed this money, who were small and who had no other sources of financial support, were the ones who would qualify. We wanted to put up those guards. We also wanted to bring in more small banks, the ones who aren't usually covered and who take care of the smallest of businesses, some who have never taken out loans before, to really make this as fair as possible.
8th District U.S. Congresswoman Kim Schreier joining us on the Coho Morning Show this morning. She's on the line live with us from her home in Sammamish and talking to us about fallout as well as continuing progress being made on the front of help and assistance regarding the COVID-19 situation here in Washington State and also at the national level. Congresswoman Schreier, let's break down some of the other concerns that are happening as far as COVID-19 is concerned right now. One of those being ag workers. I know that here in our area, I'm sure you're aware that there was a large cluster discovered at one major employer, Farm Group Stamilt, in East Wenatchee. It's out of your congressional range in Douglas County, but it's very nearby. And undoubtedly, we have a situation that could become more dire in the Hispanic community and the Latino community because they make up a principal portion of the labor that is farmed here in Washington State and all along the western United States as well. So with relation to ag employees, first of all, just making sure that they stay safe. What's going on at the federal level to make sure that happens? And then also as far as financial assistance, and really, I guess it's a more difficult overlapping question here too about how the word is spreading to that community because they might receive information a little differently than others who are in different ethnicity demographics.
You're absolutely right on all of those points. Look, we've seen what's happened in meat processing plants across the country with them shutting down, hundreds of employees getting sick, some dying, taking it home to their families, and with many susceptible elderly family members. And I think it's really important that we keep in mind that we are about to have an infusion of thousands of guest workers and migrant workers to help harvest our cherries and apples and pears. And that puts those workers at really high risk. They're not only working in close proximity, they're also living in close proximity. So I've been working with the health department and the governor to come up with a plan to keep workers safe. And really, some of this comes back to the need for appropriate personal protective equipment. I don't think that farmers should be sent out into the fields with a cloth mask. I think I think that they should have as much protection as possible. We need to make sure that the ability to wash hands, to have hand sanitizer available, to keep people separated, and also to be able to test and isolate and quarantine if needed. So I've also been talking with FEMA about what we do if workers get infected so that we can have a safe place for them to quarantine and not infect their fellow workers. So This is top of mind. We want to help the workers. We want to help our farmers. If we decrease the number of guest workers who are here, by definition, we will decrease the output from our farms, and we don't want those cherries and apples and pears rotting on the trees. So this is an important issue that is top of mind for all of us, and that I brought up with Secretary Perdue just last week, and with Undersecretary Ibach, to make sure it's top of mind for everybody.
Kim, it's been suggested by a number of people, including those who are in kind of high places, if you will, that we're not really going to see the end of this until there is a vaccine that is widely available. And I know that it would be difficult to ask that question of most people in your position, most political representatives in your position, if they weren't also a physician, but you are actually. So what say you about that? The fact that really the pandemic might go away, but COVID-19 will not entirely from our lives until that vaccination is available, and that we really could be in sort of a similar state to this, maybe in a smaller way, until that happens too. Do you believe that?
Well, that's right. I mean, I think when people talk about reopening the economy, people are starting to grasp the fact that this is not just a light switch that you flip on or off. This is like a dimmer, and we're going to have to be testing in a profound way. We're going to have to be sampling the population to see if little hot spots are emerging so we can take care of those. And we need to be able to test people, isolate them, find out who their contacts are, test them as well, and make sure that we really don't let this disease spread. That'll do a couple things. I mean, one, it reduces the spread. It makes sure we don't overload our healthcare system, but it also gives people the confidence to be able to go out knowing that there is a robust testing program. In terms of a vaccine, I mean, you're talking to a pediatrician. That's my life's work, and it will be incredible when we have one. But here are some of the hurdles. First of all, you should be assured that researchers all over the globe are working on this. We don't know if this vaccine will be developed here first or somewhere else in the world, but I am thrilled that there is collaboration through groups like the World Health Organization to work on this vaccine. Now, the next thing we need to do, and the Gates Foundation is happening with this, is invest now in what we will need to really ramp up production. That means the manufacturing ability. It means the test, the vials. It means the syringes. And this will be an unprecedented vaccination effort. We need to get essentially every person on the globe vaccinated. I mean, that is a tall order. And so first is testing, making sure it is safe and effective, seeing what dose people need, making sure it does not do any harm, which is a concern with this particular type of virus. And once we knew that, then scaling up incredibly quickly and distributing it in a smart and equitable way. So highest risk people first, but then making sure that this vaccine is free in this country. And I have a bill coming up in this next CARES package that asks for just that, that nobody should not be able to get this vaccine because of cost.
8th District Congresswoman Kim Schreier joining us today here on the Coho Morning Show, talking to us about the COVID-19 situation and responses from the federal government and information here on the home front as well, and Washington State in particular, the district that she represents, which includes Chelan County. Kim, I always appreciate the time, and you just alluded to something that I wanted to ask you in kind of closing out here, which are things that you'll be working on in Congress on behalf of those in your voting district here in Washington State in the weeks and months ahead. You just talked about one of them. Is there anything else that you'll be doing here in the near future?
Sure. So vaccinations part, also coming up with a safe plan to help our farmers and really to go to bat for agriculture in general. I have to say I'm on the Agriculture Committee, and only $9.5 billion out of a $2.2 trillion package was devoted to agriculture. And we are finding throughout this country that farmers are going under. If we don't do something to help, we may lose a third of our family farms here in Washington State. We have an issue where people are hungry and lined up around the block for food banks at the same time that farmers can't get their food to market. So I'm working closely with the USDA, the Washington State Department of Agriculture, to get what we call the farm to family food box program up and running, which will essentially address the supply chain issues, which are tremendous, but will help get food from our farmers who are not able to market to restaurants, for example, right now, to get that to people who are hungry. So that's another one on my list. And then finally, I'm also on the Education and Labor Committee. We'll be having a virtual committee meeting just in the next few minutes. And I just want to emphasize how important it is that in this next bill, we have incredibly generous support for state and local governments, that the number one thing that we need to do if we want to support children getting an education is to get money to the states, because that is who funds the majority of public education, and we cannot shirk our responsibility to educate the next generation. And the other is for local governments. I mean, who pays for our emergency responders? We need to make sure police, fire, paramedics are taken care of, and that is through local governments who are really suffering right now without income from taxes. And so those are some of the things I'll be working on, including a public service bill. We're going to need a robust infusion of public health workers in order to do just the work of finding people who are infected, helping them isolate, quarantine, get them food and whatever they need to be home safe, to find places that are not home if they can't go home safely, and to really take on the public health elements of this. So that is a new public service bill that I'll be introducing with my colleagues.
8th District U.S. Congresswoman Kim Schreier joining us today here on the Coho Morning Show. Congresswoman Schreier, I always appreciate the time very much, and I wish you continued success in all of the endeavors that you're partaking in for behalf and benefit of Washington State residents here in the 8th District, and also continued health and safety to you and your family as well. I know we'll talk again here in the coming weeks.
Thank you, and to you too. And before we speak next, I'll be on Spanish radio to make sure that I can communicate with the Latino population, which is at such high risk. So thank you. Lovely to talk with you.
Outstanding, Kim. I know that that's one of your many skills is you're quite bilingual. I know I was with you for a film shoot in a different reporting capacity here in Wenatchee at one point, and got a chance to hear you flex those muscles, if you will, and it's quite impressive. So it's great to know that you'll be reaching out to the Hispanic community here in our area, as well as others, with your voice on radio, too. So we'll look forward to your talking to us again here in a couple of weeks.
Sounds great. Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely. 8:49 here at your hometown station, Coho 101. Heading toward hour number 4 of the Coho Morning Show on this Thursday edition. It's the 1st of May, 2020.